Amen. Praise God. It's good to be able to stand and share the word of God again this morning. You know, over the last few months, I've been teaching a series of messages, and I want us to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 54. And we're just going to read together the first three verses. But in this series of messages, we've been looking at the subject of what I've called breaking free from containment. And you'll see that this prophecy, let's read this prophecy together, Isaiah 54 verses 1 to 3. Because this prophecy is all about breaking free and moving on. And it says here in verse 1, Isaiah 54, it says, "Sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing, cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." Listen to these words. "Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." Now, as I said, we've been calling this series of teaching, Breaking Free from Containment. And as we study, as we've said, and I'll repeat it again, that the word containment, or the word contain, means to control or prevent something from moving, increasing, and extending. And you very often hear it in connection with perhaps natural disasters and things that take place. You know, you hear it when you hear it on the news about the forest fires in certain lands. You know, they try to talk about containing the fire, trying to prevent it from increasing and extending. You might hear it on the TV, on the news, talking about a house fire. You know, how the fire brigade had to try and contain what was going on. It was used a few years ago when the BP oil disaster in sort of America way and on the Mexico coast. You know, that was gushing out oil gallons and gallons and gallons at a time. You know, and they put into operation their containment measures to try and prevent this thing from spreading. You know, God spoke to us earlier in the year, the early months of this year, and told us that this was a time to increase and enlarge our territories. You know, to enlarge our borders, to move forward into greater, better things in God. You know, this prophecy that we are looking at here, you know, was originally spoken over the city of Jerusalem. And it was a prophetic utterance. You know, her inhabitants, the people of God, had been taken off into captivity. They were in exile in another nation, another land. You know, and it was as though this city was now devoid of any children. There was no growth. There was nothing in Jerusalem that was like moving on or increasing. Life wasn't going on as it should have been. You know, and the prophet spoke over her and said, "She is like a barren woman, but she's going to be more than that because she's going to be so blessed. God was going to bring her children back." You know, and ultimately this is talking about, because yes, God did bring her children, but this is ultimately talking about the church. You know, how the church was born in Jerusalem and then it began to spring out into the world. "More are the children of the married woman, says the Lord, than the children of the desolate." You know, she was going to be a hope for increase. And so God spoke to this city of Jerusalem. God spoke to them. And when we talk about Jerusalem, really, we're not actually talking about the physical structure of Jerusalem. When you talk about a city in that sense, you're talking about the people that live in it. You know, when you say, yes, you're going to a city or a thing, a place to preach, you're not going to preach to the walls of the city, you're going to preach to the people. You're going to reach the people. You know, we're talking about the city as a group of people. And God is speaking to these inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he says, look, he says, I want you to do something. He says, you've got to enlarge the place of your tent. If you want to grow, if you want to increase, if you want to move on, you want to move forward, you've got to enlarge the place where you are. And we looked at that several weeks ago. And then God said to them, he says, not only must you enlarge the place of your tent, not only must you begin to prepare to move. He says, you've got to actually stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Now you've got to remember, these people, some of them lived in houses, but all their lives, if they were traveling through the wilderness, you know, they were tent dwellers. They lived in tents. You know, and they understood what this meant, to stretch out the curtains of the dwelling. You know, just make the tent a little bit bigger. You know, not just make it a little bit, but he said, stretch it. Stretch it. Take it to its extremes. You know, and we saw last time, you know, that we might need to stretch and embrace some things. Go back over the word of God that God has spoken to us. You know, but often we become contained by things in our lives. Things that prevent us from moving on, going forward. You know, I've said this before, and again, I'll say it again. You know, we like things to be comfortable. We like things to be just right. We like things to stay just the way they are. Because that's how we're used to them. If anything comes along that looks like it might rock the boat or cause the situation to be a little bit turbulent, we don't like it. As you know, we've just come back from our holiday. We were flying back on the plane and we flew above a storm, an electric storm, thunderstorm. You know, and the plane began to rock from side to side. And it wasn't comfortable. You know, we don't like anything that rocks the boat or rocks our plane or rocks anything in our lives. Because we like it just nice. But if we are in that place where we say, well, God don't rock my boat, God don't do this. You know, we're in the danger of becoming contained, becoming limited, becoming bound by our own limitations. You know, God has got a purpose for each and every one of us. And whatever we are contained, we're never going to step out and fulfill that destiny that God's got for us. And then, you know, a lot of things contain us. Maybe security. We like the security. We don't want to step out into the unknown. And that security can be our containment. Maybe it's money. Maybe we've got to know that we've got enough to live on. Well, that can become our containment. If we put our whatever we put our trust in can be our containment. You know, in this word, this prophecy, God spoke to his people and told them they need to make room for God to work in their lives. You know, we saw that in our studies when we were looking at enlarge the place of your tent. You know, you've got to make room for God in your life. Part of enlarging the place of your tent is that we don't become try and get God to conform to our way of thinking, which is often the way we approach God sometimes, particularly when we bring in our prayers. Yes, we've got a need, and we know what the answer to our need, or we think we know what the answer to our need is. You know, our prayers and our petitions are directed at God to get him to conform to our way of thinking, rather than us conforming to what he wants and the way he thinks. His thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. The next chapter tells us, Isaiah 55. His ways are far beyond our ways. And we've got to conform to his will, rather than trying to get God to fit into our box and get him to go our way. In order that we might break free from containment, we've got to keep our dreams and visions alive by stretching back over our calling, stretching back over the promises of God, stretching back over what God has spoken in the past. God not allowing them to drop, but rehearsing them, going over them again, meditating upon them, so that that dream, that vision remains alive in our spirit. Remember as we, a few weeks ago, we were looking at the prophet Elisha, and he had to do that very thing. He had to go back over, you know, he came to a situation in his life where he says, look, this God, you're not talking to me. I'm not hearing the word of God. That he sent his servant to go and minister to the boy, and the boy didn't revive. And he said, God, what's going wrong? Why aren't you with? And he had to go back. He had to stretch over his own ministry, stretch back over what God had called him to. One thing, if we're going to break free, we might need to do that. Something else we might need to do if we're going to break free from containment today is that we must not become content with our lot. We mustn't get used to the things the way they are. But let's expect them to change. Expect something different. Expect something exciting. Expect something beyond the normal. Well, this morning I just want to carry on looking at this verse 2. We've done those two statements, enlarge the place of your tent. We looked at that one, we've looked at the statement, stretch out the curtain of your dwelling. Well, the next statement made in this verse is this. It's just three words long and it says this. It says, do not spare. Do not spare. Three simple words, yet profoundly powerful. Three simple words, but three profoundly powerful words. Because the revelation contained in these three words will break that spirit of containment in our lives. Do not spare. The Hebrew word here translated as spare. Because if the Bible tells us, it says do not spare, we need to know what this word spare means. And the Hebrew word here translated spare means to refrain from, to hold back, to keep for oneself, to withhold or hinder. And here God says this, he says, look, he says, do not hold back. Do not keep for yourself. Do not withhold and do not hinder. What the essence of this verse is, or this statement is saying, is this. It says that we've got to have a generous spirit. A generous nature. You know, don't hold back. But be generous. Don't keep for yourself, but be generous. Don't refrain from doing something. You know, be generous. Do what God has put on your heart to do, willingly, gladly, cheerfully. You know, a miserly spirit or a stingy spirit leads to containment. You know, containment will say, well, I can't afford to do this. I can't afford to bless that person. I can't afford to give to that person. I can't afford to support. I can't afford to lend. I can't afford to go out of my way for that person. I can't afford to do this, do that. Not necessarily just talking about money, but, you know, we can't afford the time. We can't God wants us to be generous people. He says, do not spare. You know, there's a lot of poverty in the world. And anyone that's traveled to any nation where poverty is, I'm not talking about, I know people say they're poor in this country, but even people that might say they're poor, you know, really, you know, they have a welfare state that they can claim on in this country, but there are people who are, that don't have no welfare, people that are living on next to nothing. You know, you can see it as you travel around the world and as you go to places, you know, particularly in Africa and India and those sorts of places like that, perhaps South America. You can see these people, you can see poverty. But there's one thing worse than poverty itself. And that's a poverty spirit. You know, you could still be poor and still have a generous spirit. And we see a great example of that in the New Testament where, you know, the widow woman, she came with her, you know, she's often taught about, she's often preached about, she came with her two mites. You know, she gave those two mites into the temple treasury. You know, she was poor. How do we know she was poor? Because the Bible tells us those two mites was all she had. It was her livelihood. It was everything that she owned, everything that she had. She would come and she gave it to. That's generosity. Yeah, there's people with much more that say, oh, I'm not doing that, I'm not giving that. Can't spare that, can't. You know, that's a poverty spirit. And a poverty spirit will bring you into containment. You know, in our verses here in Isaiah, you know, as I say, you know, these inhabitants, they were around Jerusalem, they lived around this city, and God was speaking to them. He told them that they were to enlarge the place of their tents. He told them that they were to stretch out their curtains. He told them not to spare, not to hold back. He says, throw open your dwelling places. Throw open, you know, be generous in your thinking. Be generous in your attitude. Have a generous spirit. If we're going to break free from containment, we've got to think and act generously. Containment will cause us to think and act sparingly. Why? Because we think and we act and conduct ourselves within the boundaries and limitations that containment will keep us in. Perhaps this morning we're going to look at a few scriptures. But there's a verse I just want us to go to. And you'll probably know it. And it's found in the second book of Corinthians, chapter 9. Talking about being generous or acting generously or acting sparingly. And it says here in verse 6, it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Those who think and act, or the Bible here says to sow. You know, to sow, you know, when you sow a seed, you put it in the ground. Or, as we were taught in Sunday school, and it is true, and it's the way they did it in the scriptures, when they sowed their seed, they didn't do it like we would do it today. You know, they didn't, you know, get a little dibber and make a hole and drop the seed in and then cover it up. You know, they just scattered the seed on the ground. They scattered it. They threw it. You know, they were sowing their seed. You know what happens if you only sow a handful of seed? You're being sparingly with it. You're not going to reap a lot. You're not going to get a great harvest off of that seed if you just one handful in the basket and out across the ground. But if you're bountiful with your seed, and you keep sowing it, seed's going to scatter everywhere, and it's going to germinate, and you're going to get a really good harvest, a good crop. And those who think and act like that, they're not necessarily talking about sowing seeds, but they have a generous spirit. You know, they're having that spirit of generosity. You know, they are going to reap loads, bountifully, the scripture says. But if you're just going to be tired and miserly, and you're not going to go out of your way to serve people, to help people, you're just going to reap according to what you sow. Just look at the last few words of verse 5. It says he says that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. You know, that poverty spirit, you know, is a grudging obligation. You know, it's an obligation to, and that's the way you feel like, oh, you've got to do this. You know what a grudging obligation is? You know you've got to do it, but you're not happy about it. But paying your bills. When the electric bill comes in. You know, you're obligated, and perhaps you don't really want to pay the amount they're asking for, maybe because you think they probably are ripping you off. But you've got to do it anyway. You've got to pay for what you've used. That's grudgingly. That's a grudging obligation. But a generous spirit, you know, causes. Well, verse 6 says that if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Now, if you sow sparingly, you're doing it out of grudging obligation. But if you sow bountifully, do you know what happens? You cause verse 8 to come into effect in your life. And verse 8 says this, that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Having all sufficiency in all things, having an abundance for every good work. That's breaking free from containment. Because you're not contained any longer. Now I want to look at this morning, I just want to look at a few more promises of blessing upon those, where God promises blessing upon those who have a generous spirit. Because we're talking about do not spare. Don't withhold. Don't keep for yourself. So talking about being generous. Now I'm not just... I know when we read some of the scriptures, and it will sound a little bit like perhaps thinking about money, because that's the way our minds are programmed. But when we're talking about giving, you know, it's just having a generous nature, generous, you know, the giving of your time, you're giving just out of love. So don't just think money this morning. Yes, that comes, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. You know, we give our time, we give our service, we give our love, we give our worship. We give other things. An encouraging word. So, we're talking about being generous in every area of our life. So let's look at, I've just got half a dozen verses here to go through very quickly. Most of them are in the Old Testament. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Do not spare. That's what we're looking at. Do not spare. Proverbs 18. You know, we've seen in previous lessons that to enlarge and stretch is to make room. And in this verse, I'm giving you the verse, it's verse 16. In this verse it says this, it says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. A man's gift that comes out of a generous spirit will make room for him. It will cause him to increase. It will cause him to enlarge. It will cause him to be stretched. A man's gift will cause him to break free from containment. Free from the things that will prevent him from moving on, going forward, increasing, expanding, enlarging. A man's gift that comes from a generous spirit makes room for him. I don't know if you've thought about those words. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. That's not a bribe. A lot of people try and bribe their way to get to high places. It says it's a gift. A gift. Gifts come from generous spirits. Because you give a gift. God gave us Jesus. That was his gift to us. It came out of his generous spirit. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible tells us. God so loved the world. We've remembered it this morning. Jesus gave his life. It's his gift to us. Why? Because he loved us. He died for us. A gift comes from a generous heart, a generous spirit. And our gift will make room for us. It will cause us to increase and expand. It will propel us in toward our destiny in God, having a generous spirit. Well, let's look at another proverb this morning, Proverbs 22. And verse 9 says this. It says, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor." You know, the word eye used in this verse here has a dual meaning. Yes, it can be talking about the literal eye of the body, but it's also used figuratively and can mean the fountain or spring. What comes out of the heart of man? You know, he who has a generous heart will be blessed. Yes, the word "I" here is used to denote a man's spirit and life. The one who is generous and does not spare, the Bible says, he will be blessed. He will be blessed. Why? Because generosity brings you out of containment. Let's go back to Proverbs 11. There's another proverb here that we should look at this morning. Well, actually, this is two verses here. Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25. Verse 24 says this. Proverbs 11 says, "There is one who scatters, yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Actually, verse 26 goes on and says that the people will curse the one that withholds grain. You know, the one who withholds is cursed. But the generous soul will be made rich, it says there in verse 25. You know, if you withhold more than is necessary. You know, we have responsibility. There are things that we should withhold some. It's not about saying that we should give 100%. You know, there are things, you know, we have to do. It's right and it's proper that we minister to our own needs and the needs before we look at the needs of others. But mustn't make looking at our own needs mustn't make that our boundary, our containment. Because we should be generous. We should be looking toward others as well. But it says here, the one who withholds more than is right. So there must be a right amount to withhold. And if we withhold more than we ought, more than is right, it says that leads to poverty. That leads to having that containment. But the one who scatters, the generous soul that scatters, you know, increases and is made rich. Now that word there, to enrich or make rich, you're like this. Well, maybe you won't like it. It literally means to make fat. To make fat. But don't think of fatness as in size. You know, fatness was a blessing. It really means to prosper. To bless and prosper. To have an abundance. You know, the generous one, the generous spirit, the generous heart is made abundant. Receives a bountiful supply. You know, it's what it says, that he who waters will himself also be watered. That's the royal law of God. You know, you often hear it said, you know, as you do unto others what you want them to do to you. You feed them, you'll be fed. You water them, you'll be watered. You bless them, you'll be blessed. What does Luke 6 say? It says this, it says, give, and it shall be given to you. Give, and it shall be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Then Jesus went on to say there in verse 38, Luke 6, 38, he says, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The generous soul will be made rich. Because as you give. Now, as I said, don't just think money. Think as you give. As you're generous. As you give a word of encouragement. As you give worship. As you give of your time. As you give of your substance. As you give maybe just a smile to someone who needs it. As you give, it will be given back to you. But it's not just given back to you. Because it always comes back with increase. Jesus said it's a good measure. Now we like a good measure. A good measure. You know, we've said this before and You've probably heard it, and if you have, I apologize. If you haven't, well, you know, quite a few years ago, and it was actually brought back to our memories just last week, but quite a few years ago, we went away as a family to a little island in the Mediterranean, Malta, and we were having a meal one night in the restaurant at the bottom of the hotel, and you know, as we sat down, we got to the first course, and they brought the, it must have been a served meal, because the waiters came around and served it, but you know, we were sitting down there having this meal, and they brought the first course, the soup. And it began, the waiter came, began to dish out, fill each bowl with soup, and he, I don't know where he started, but he filled Jane's bowl with one ladle full. Came to me, one ladle. That was a sizable ladle, it was a sizable amount, it was a good measure. Debbie, one ladle. Came to Joanna, she got two ladles. A good measure. A good measure she got. And I always think about, you know, she was blessed. You know, we like a good measure. We like to get enough. But here it says, if we give, it will be given to you. A good measure, not just a good measure, but it's pressed down. Think of it like you're filling up a sack. You fill the sack up. I have to do this with my, when I cut the grass at home. You know, you tip the cuttings into the wheelie bin. Then you have to press them down. Because I can fill the wheelie bin just from the one little square, and I've got two big squares I've got to cut. So you put the good measure in, you press it down. Then just to make sure every little bit's there, you just give the bin a bit of a shake. You shake it together. And then you can pour more in. You press it down, you give it a shake, and then you pour more in. And you get to the stage, what are we doing? I'm doing my garden. You get to the stage where you can't close the lid of the bin. Because we've got not just a good measure, it's been pressed down, shaken together, and now it's running over. And that's the measure that God will use to the generous spirit. So those who withhold more than is right shall be led into poverty or containment. But the generous spirit, the generous heart, the one that scatters and sows shall increase and be made rich. We'll do one more verse this morning as we just bring this to a conclusion. Go to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah 32. This really is the heart of a generous person. Isaiah 32 verse 8 says this. It says, but a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. A generous man devises generous things, and by his generosity he shall stand. You know, those that are generous, those that have got a heart for giving, you know, they think up ways to be a blessing. They devise generous things. They come up with plans and all sorts of formulas in order to be a blessing. They want to bless this one. They want to bless that one. They want to be an encouragement to another. You know, they go out of their way to think, how can I be a blessing today? How can I minister to that one today? How can I serve that one today? You know, a generous man thinks up ways to be a blessing to others. He devises generous things. You know, and his generosity will cause him to stand, the Bible says. Do you know what that means? That means his generosity will cause him to be established, to be successful. It will cause him to rise up. His generous spirit will bring him up out of containment. No longer will he be bound by those limitations. Well, I've only got this. I've only got that. As I said, you can be poor. You know, last year, when we were in Ghana, we got to go out to the not on our own, but we got to walk through one of the ghettos, right in on the outskirts of where we were having the meetings. You know, see the people there in the ghettos in Accra, that they were they really had nothing. So poor. And yet, they just oozed with generosity. They had nothing to give. Nothing to offer. But what they just offered, you know, as much as they could. You think, well, this is really coming from the heart. It's not coming out of, they're not thinking about, well, we might need this week, you know, we can't give that because that's our dinner tomorrow. Well, that's, you know, they just gave generously. A little bit like that widow woman in the scriptures that brought those two mites. You know, she had nothing, but she came and she gave. I'm reminded of the widow woman in Elisha's time. That, you know, she said, just going to gather in a few sticks. She's going to use her last piece of flour, her last piece of oil. She's going to make a little meal for her son and herself. And then she told the prophet, says, when that's it, that's all we've got, then we're going to die. What does she do? She went in and she made the cake. She made the meal. And she brought it out to the prophet. She gave out of a generous heart. And God blessed that woman. She reaped bountifully. You know, the reason many of us get contained is because we have a poverty mentality. We think poor. You know, we think, well, we can't do this, we can't do that, we need this, we need that. This is mine. There was that man in the scriptures, I was going to turn to him this morning, but, you know, he said, I've got all these goods, what am I going to do? He says, I'm going to build bigger barns, I'm going to store it up. You know, that's the problem, storing up. That's the way the world wants us to go. That's the way the world tries to get us to go its way. You know, save, store up, keep back. But that's not the spirit of generosity. You know, that's the spirit of poverty. Saving up for a rainy day. Well, let me give you some news. It's raining. It's raining. There's no more rainy days to save up for. It's raining now. This is the time to be generous. Because that's the way we break that spirit of poverty. By having a spirit of generosity. That's the way we break free from containment. Do not spare. Do not refrain. Hold back. Keep for yourself. Withhold or hinder. But rather think of ways to be a blessing to others. And you'll break free from containment. Amen.